This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On today's podcast, we talk about me passing the poll at the Brits. Chris gets his first correct score and his first 3 points. And we talk about the bombshell news that the Champions League is changing formation. Hello and welcome to that Peter Crouch podcast. I've got the Notorious with me and Chris Stark. Everyone okay?
Really good. And we've got to say a huge well done for your performance at the weekend.
Yeah, well, I feel quite proud of myself. You know when you've scored a couple of goals and then you come in like Monday morning, you stroll in. I feel pretty proud of my pod passing.
Yeah.
So just explain to me on that one. So are you given a auto cue of what to read? Are you meant to stick by that? Have you just gone?
I was. So this is at the Brit Awards, we should say. It was at the Brit Awards Saturday night. You weren't there this year, Sids. We need a little pod table next year, I think.
I was watching it eagle-eyed.
Yeah.
And well, Pete's fired into the WhatsApp group before to say, they've given me a script, but watch what I do.
Yeah. It was basically, they gave me a script, they gave me an auto cue. But obviously, what was so weird about this, it felt like the Rod Stewart moment where only I knew what I was going to do. Mm. And there's lots of people there that probably sort of thought, why is he giving an inspirational speech about people that will be back stronger next year? But obviously people that know the pod know that, you know, exactly what I was doing. Yeah. Bizarrely, I had Rod Stewart's driver who took me to the Brits.
Oh, really?
How about that? So kind of channeling that same energy.
Yeah, you turned up feeling quite pumped that you needed to do something a little bit different.
Yeah, I just knew that it was a call to arms. You know, it was a passing of the pod on a global national scale.
So you managed to tell everyone that they can be back strong. I mean, what was quite weird about seeing it in the room as well is, I was sat on a different table to you, Pete, and you're surrounded by all the artists that are nominated. And obviously, if you listen to this podcast, the phrase back stronger makes sense, but how bizarre it was seeing people's reactions to you telling them that they'll be back stronger next year, even if they don't win. And they don't understand the podcast reference. No. It's like, why has Peter Crouch gone deep and meaningful with my music career?
There were certain people that, I did have a few people on Twitter, you know, come out and say, why have you turned into a motivational speaker or something? I said, half these people are new and they've got loads of chances to come back next year. But I wanted to shoehorn back stronger in. And that's a nice thing to say, because there are some great people in the candidates there and they will be back strong next year.
It's true. It does work.
Can't help it, Ray. Do you know what I mean?
So no. It was a delicate touch.
Yeah. Right? And I obviously got San Marino in as well, because I did with my missus. I was desperate to get San Marino in. Hopefully you heard it.
Yeah?
But yeah, I was
what about the get-up? So the attire, you know, went for the...
A little bit Steve Jobsy.
Went Jobsy. And more so, the Barnet.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was that?
I was a big fan.
Were you a big fan?
Yeah, I thought he's gone for it. He's
gone. You're not happy with it?
I thought it was a syrup at first. Oh, no. No, because it didn't look like your hair.
No,
like,
I was like, who's this?
I had a haircut.
Who's this guy?
I had a haircut before I went on. Just on the day.
Yeah.
And then, and he went, do you want to try something different? And he styled
it. Ruffled look.
Me.
For like
a little bit ruffled. I went ruffled.
And roll necked.
Did you hear me shouting roll neck, by the way?
Roll neck wanker.
Mate,
wondered who that was.
I was actually a bit bad because I had a few beers by then. And obviously I was excited that you were on the stage to start shouting, roll neck, like, and then someone around me was like, shh, because obviously it's like Dua Lipa's won an award. So she's trying to accept her award and do a speech. And there's me shouting roll neck up at Peter. It was just a bit of a shambles, really.
What's it like in the pit, you know, with all them tables? Because it just seems like a massive piss up. Is that what it is?
Exactly what it was. Yeah, it was. I'll be honest with you. Like, it's my first one I've ever been to. I met Ab a couple of times afterwards for some fun at the parties and stuff. But the first time I've ever been. But I've got to say, I absolutely really enjoyed it. I enjoyed, you know, it's just like madness. And you meet really kind of some interesting people. And just have a few beers.
It'd be great, everyone, a Brit Award, wouldn't it? Like,
everyone feels like they're let loose a bit.
Do you not think with the Euros, I was sort of, actually weirdly, I was at my nephew's football party recently. And in fact, the weekend just gone, a day after the Brits, on a hangover, like 30 young lads playing football and then in a little hall afterwards, sort of high on sweets and everything like that. It was really bad, a really bad hangover experience, if I'm honest. At Maidenhead's football ground in the cages there, so that was quite good fun. But the playlist that they had was really good because they were playing football songs, Three Lions, everything like that. And it reminds you that, you know, Badil Skinner and the Lightning Seeds, I mean, they made that iconic song. They weren't all singers, were they? No. They just thought of a good idea and linked with the right band. Mm. One eye on the Euro. Should we not be in the realms of thinking about what football song we could, this time next year, Rodney, we could have a Brit Award?
No, yeah. This is a bit of me.
Yeah. The only issue with this is like, many have tried and failed.
Many have tried.
Miserably. It can be a bit embarrassing. Like, it's very close to being embarrassing.
It's really cringe if you get it wrong.
Fucking imagine. We all sit there going, we're going to win the cup. Everyone goes, look at these twats. You know what I mean? I would. I'm a bit...
Skeptical,
you know.
Okay, but then do you need to go down the Vindaloo route and just write about something that we like round about the time of the football and just hope that the two marry up? Do you see what I mean?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at this from a positive. I'm thinking if there's ever a chance England are going to win it, it's got to be this tournament. So that...
You think we could be the song?
So that gives me more hope than the other way. And I'm thinking we can, with the connections that we've got and the ideas, we can brainstorm this, we can make this happen.
This is why if we get the cow thing moving, you know, I really don't want us to forget about us getting a pod cow. Like, this could be the kind of thing. It could be a song about milking, for example, and that end up being the new Vindaloo, you know?
Mm. Yeah, true, okay.
A milk a dairy one. A milk a dairy. that's Chumbawamba, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's Chumbawamba, yeah.
Something to think about, but look, we've also got a lot of listeners who are creative and brilliant at what they do. If you can think of a sort of non-cringe way for us to make some sort of song, we'd be happy to back it. Mm. We just need the right idea, don't we?
We do.
And then hopefully this time next year, Brit Awards. And then we can all be there and celebrate. And...
Well, if I'm not there, I'll be there in spirit.
Yeah.
I watched it on my own, like in my living room, watching you boys having fun.
Well, it was good because I texted you boys beforehand, but nobody knew that I was going to try and shoehorn a couple of phrases in there. Yeah. But yeah, enjoyed the whole process. Love passing the pod and hopefully it's...
All right, let's go back to the football. So this is the Friday pod. There's points at stake. I'm not going to explain the rules or how you get the points, but it's a league system between me, Sids, Crouchy, forfeit for the loser at the end of this season. Sids, you are currently languishing bottom of the table.
Yeah, it was another really disappointing week. I mean, Everton, West Ham... Come on, that draw written all over it. It was 1-1 in the 91st minute and then West Ham go and score 2. It's give you a little bit of a gap. I must admit, when that third goal went in for the Man City, I was fuming.
It's a big correct score for me, that one.
It's a monster correct score. 3-1, like,
I needed
3-0 as well, but you know, obviously Rashford put paid to that early doors. Some great finishes, by the way. Mm. How good were the goals?
Foden's class, huh?
Yeah, but like...
Played so well.
Imagine for me that my score prediction comes in the 90th minute.
Yeah. Outrageous.
I mean, just wonderful.
Who was it? Give the ball away. Fucking Amrabat. Is he up to?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was the one that killed... In all honesty, right? Amrabat. I've got to blame him for that correct score. Was he dallying, wasn't
he? It's annoying. Do you know what? When it comes in, it's fucking annoying, I've got to say. But there we go. Listen... These next fixtures are really, really tough, but we'll come to them in a minute.
Yeah, so obviously that correct score was fantastic from you. I got 2 scores correct, 2 points, and you had the one.
Just the one.
I think that's good. I think it's a good standard from us now. I think we are, as a podcast, on a Friday, back stronger.
Yeah, definitely feels
that
way.
We chumped one, but big time.
Yeah, but getting the nailed on score, mighty 3 points from that. You know, you're right, Pete. You got called a couple of the results right, point apiece. Mm. They all count, they all add up, but it does mean the gap between top and bottom, me and Sid's 13-9, 4 points there.
Mm. It's a good cushion.
Nice. It's just a nice.
It's a good cushion knowing that I haven't had a three pointer in a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm.
I'm still nervy. Like I know I'm 2 points ahead of Sid's now, but I'm still nervous. Like one 3-pointer at least above me. Don't we?
It does make it exciting. Oh my god,
the jeopardy.
The WhatsApps over the weekend are fun, aren't they?
The jeopardy, mate.
Are you on TV again this weekend?
Midweek. Yeah, it's some Champions League Europa action.
Yep.
But nothing on the weekend.
Okay, great. Yeah. All right. So, shall we talk about some of the things that happened last weekend then? Where would you like to start? Points aside.
Well, obviously the big game was the Manchester Derby. I thought was a great game of football. Nunes scoring late on.
Yeah, do you know what? With that Liverpool one, it just does make you think whether it's just going to be their year. You know,
it was 90 plus nine. What did you make of obviously the drop ball situation?
Wow.
That was bad.
It's bad. It's bad, isn't it? Oh, I mean, because it is the law. It's the wrong decision. It's not subjective. It is what he's done is incorrect.
It's the wrong decision. Yeah,
yeah. But, I know they're saying that there's time in between that and the goal, but if that wouldn't have happened.
So at the time that we're recording this, because I believe this is all getting sort of appealed properly, isn't it? And because it's not a subjective decision, is it?
Mm.
As you say, it's just fact.
Yeah.
So,
and what about the chairman coming down the pitch as well?
He looked like I felt like he was. He came down and went, "Oh, I shouldn't be." I don't know. You know, it's one of those ones where I think potentially he's been down there before and been allowed to say what he wants. I think he was trying so hard to keep that together.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a monumental error, in the words of Mike Dean. On behalf of Paul Tini, the referee. But going back to Liverpool, that's massive.
Oh, it was absolutely huge. The scenes were unreal, weren't they?
Mm.
And yeah, I mean, that was a big performance because obviously City going and getting a result there, that, you know, they would have gone above them, wouldn't they? Mm. So yeah, huge result.
Do you think Liverpool have enough in them? Because it does feel like those other two are escalated massively.
My thing with Liverpool is like they've won all those games with so many injuries. You know, it was like, I think Klopp said it, you know, won all four of those games, you know, with the Carabao Cup as well, with injuries to so many key players. You know, they're playing kids. You know, Nunes coming back, they've missed Salah, you know, for so long as well. And I know City have missed De Bruyne, you know, but I just feel like there's so many key players that they've managed to cope with. And I think once those players all come back, no, that will kick if they still manage to kind of nick over the line like they have been doing, and then they get those players back, that could put them in the ascendancy. But City looked like they look so good. So I mean, you know, they're favourites, rightly so as well.
Steve, what about Pochettino? Bit of an uninspiring result against Brentford. It felt like calls of Poch out.
First time, is it, really enough?
Yeah, it seemed to be emerging. There was the odd chant of Mourinho, which I don't know if that was a bit sarcastic or if that was.
They always chant him, don't they? The Chelsea fans, they always would welcome him back in open arms. I think this is the first time now that we've seen with Chelsea with the fans on Poch's back. Look, when he came through the door, he was always up against it because of the Spurs connection. And then I felt, with just his history with working with the youngsters and making them better and developing good young players, like he done at Southampton, like he done at Tottenham as well, that this was just built up for him. Mm. But it feels like it's a road to nowhere for him. I really do feel that. And once the fans start, always tend to listen.
Yeah, I thought it'd be better for him. I do. It's been so disappointing this season. So poor. And obviously the news coming out of the, you know, this doesn't concern any Chelsea fans at all, but the news of the Champions League had a reshake in it.
Mm.
Trying to get that in from George, our producer.
Why you got to be like that?
He's a Chelsea fan.
Probably suffered quite a bit of late, actually.
He looks dishevelled over there, doesn't he?
He'll probably cut that out.
He probably will cut out. And he'll put something in that cancels me. So I'd just like to formally take that back, actually, George, and say how much.
Why don't we
Explain this to me then. Yeah.
So obviously, this has only just come out now, so like I need to dig down and
it's
find out.
It's kind of like last hour.
I need to find out exactly, you know, what the fuck it means. But I just think it's a lot of dicking around, isn't there, with formats.
So they basically make it into like a league table, aren't they?
Giant league.
Yeah, it's 36 teams.
There's still the draw where you play four games.
So so your steel seed is a draw, and you draw, and you play was it 8 games, and then the top 8 go through automatically, the second 8 playoff. Go into a playoffs, and the third 8 are
elimination. Interesting. Listen, you know,
and then it goes into a knockout stage as per normal
after that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quick, isn't it? Like, just bang, you announce it, then we're doing it next year.
Yeah. Funny one.
Well, I don't know. I was wrong with it before. But
would this system have helped you in the Champions League, do you think? Haven't had time to absorb it, really, have we?
Well, I just think you knew where you stood with the, you know, play. You draw 3 teams out, 4 teams out, obviously you included, and you know where you're going, you know those games, and you kind of know where you are. It probably seems like there's more jeopardy on it. Probably, I suppose, maybe the thinking is there's a bit more excitement behind it.
There must be.
More games, probably.
I think there must be. I think they're looking at going, teams have to go for it, because if you get a 1-0 win and, you know, other teams are getting
every
2-0.
Goal counts,
you know, that's
well.
It now. They're trying to probably make it more end-to-end, more entertaining, so more goals.
Every team rather than, just within your...
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see. Cool.
Okay, guys, listen up. Crouch here. I've got a question for you before we get into this week's episode. Lads behind the scenes have told me that only 20% of our Wednesday episode listeners are tuning in for the Football Friday show. I want to change that. So hit that follow button and you'll have exclusive access to our world-class wit, football insights and too hot for TV content that didn't make the original cut. Don't be the one to miss out. Hit follow now. Let the good times roll with that Peter Crouch podcast.
Right, so on to this weekend's football. Some massive games. The thing is with this weekend, I really feel like this is going to be a weekend with the 3 games that we got where there's going to be so many different predictions potentially, because these games, I don't know about you boys, I think are incredibly hard to call.
This is the toughest 3 that we've had to date, in my opinion, because they could go either way.
They could, but what I like about that is that you can go for anything. It'll all be respected because they could go either way, these games. But I think we'll get lots of different scores, which puts there's more chance for someone to go ahead or get caught. And I like that.
I'll tell you what I like about this as well is people who listen to this podcast and, you know, because we're giving 3 scores each. We do put the scores up on social now, to be fair, if you do want to follow it. But people who are watching the games and kind of, the fire into the DMs with a bit of a well done if you get the right result in that. People are buying into the drama. We haven't worked out what the forfeit is going to be yet, but safe to say it'll be worth it.
And we also haven't found out what Sid's quote for this week is.
Oh,
yeah.
We'll start quote, this now, haven't
quote
we?
From every week. last week's one was, their arseholes fell out, I believe.
Yes.
And the one before that, if Sheffield United score, I'm fucked.
Interesting
to see what the quote is this week.
Yeah, I mean, like, what if you're watching this podcast, freeze frame on your favourite Steve Sidwell quote on it, because there's obviously the captions underneath, and then send us a little picture of it. We'd love that. Yeah. It always makes us
get the comment
out. Tickles us, doesn't it?
All right, straight into this, which could be the biggest game of the season so far. This next part of the podcast is supported by Paddy Power, and it's their big weekend fixture. Ooh. It's Liverpool versus Manchester City.
Wow.
Juggernaut of a game.
Exactly. How are you boys in your creative punditry language describing this one? Because...
Why is it juggernaut there?
Is this a title decider?
Isn't it?
6-pointer.
This for me is... It's not a title decider, but
it's... not as big as puddings, is it?
It's not massive as puddings, of course not. But it's up there.
Come on, build it up, Steve. What is this?
I think this is going to be colossal.
Oh! Love it.
Especially at Anfield.
Colossal. I like that. I like colossal.
The reason why I say this is because City are flying at the minute. Mm. You know, they're in the groove, they're scoring, they're winning. But Liverpool at home, they seem to just, get it over the line. It's special at Anfield, isn't it? And in the big games
they're unbeaten
up.
In their 22 games at Anfield.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So City are rolling into this as favourites with Paddy Power, right? 13 to 10, £10 gets you 23 back. Whereas Liverpool's 17 to 10, £10 gets you 27 back. Does, like, how many teams are going to Anfield? Well, none, obviously. I'll answer the question for you.
Yeah.
As favourites, as the away team.
So this is what I mean. You know, you have to go by those odds, but City would have to be the first team in what would be then, what, 23 matches to break this unbeaten. I don't know. I think this is, it's so tricky to just kind of outright say that they can be the favourites in that scenario, especially with what you know, Pete, the Anfield difference there. What a massive game, the atmosphere with this game.
Yeah, that's it. I think probably the odds wise is the injuries that Liverpool got at the moment. Yeah. I think, you know, they had everyone fit. I think it would have been probably more even. But yeah, Liverpool Anfield with the kind of, I remember being up there for this fixture. Do you remember when Sterling scored late on? Yeah. I was in a box. I was in Steve Gerrard's box, actually. And it was next door was Noel Gallagher at this game. And it was the one, obviously, you know, we know what happened where they lost the league in the end. But that moment where Liverpool beat City that day, it felt like that was the game. It was like, oh my God, they're going to do it. And they hadn't won it for so long. Yeah. And I always remember, like, I was all over it, like, as a fan, just watching, and it was brilliant. And I ended up getting involved right back out when I think it was Raheem Sterling scored, and everyone was poured out the box, all jumping on each other's backs, and I was right in the moment and all that. And I always remember Noel Gallagher was kind of like hiding behind the glass a little bit, and he just poked his head round and said, "Don't be fucking pretending you're a Scouser now." Fair play.
Yeah, like this is big. Van Dijk's obviously massive, isn't he, for Liverpool, up against Erling Haaland. And I've just seen this stat here that Erling Haaland for Man City has now scored against every single side he has faced during his time in the Premier League.
I mean, what a ticking box that is.
That's incredible.
Mm. As a striker, Pete.
Yeah. Just absolute madness, really. Like, to the fact that obviously there's three new teams come up, but like he's only been here for 2 years. Not even that yet.
Mad.
Not even that.
Yeah, it's mad.
He's kind of completed it. Completed the Premier League. I mean, what a weird collection he has there. Yeah.
And then you're thinking, on top of that, if anyone's going to stop him, it could be Van Dijk.
Yeah, absolute machine. Having said that, God, he missed some chances, didn't he, the other day against United? Ooh. Well, that one was a tapping, wasn't it? I think he maybe should have, could he have headed that? It's a lot easier just to nod it in.
Yeah.
I don't know if he could have made it with his head. Mm. But yeah, missed some chances. But then, you know, still got played in and like absolute killer at the end. Yeah. Didn't look like it affected him. Well, it did actually. At half time, I could see him going off like fuming with himself. Mm. There's no worse place than missing a sitter in a big game like that, coming in and having to apologise. I've done it numerous times myself. But there's nothing worse. And then, you know, if you go on and lose those... I remember I was actually looking for Haaland's reaction to the goals that Foden scored. And I was thinking, he's going to be absolutely buzzing because there's nothing worse than losing a game that you've missed chances in.
Yeah. Do you think the fact that this is at Anfield gives this... If this was the other way around, if this was at the Etihad at this stage of the season between these two teams with exactly the same teams they got, this might be a different proposition, maybe weighted way more towards Man City. Mm-hmm. I just think that Anfield difference is potentially huge in this fixture.
I do. Yeah. I mean, that factors in my scoreline.
Really. Should we get to the scores?
I think
if this
is the Etihad, I think City probably...
That's what I'm saying.
I do think there's something, there is an Anfield factor here.
Okay, so what are you going for?
Well, I mean, it'd be easy to sit on the fence, wouldn't it, right? 1-1 is 13 to 2. That was the last result that they had here. 10 against you, 75. But I've gone for Liverpool. I think the Anfield factor is a big factor in this fixture particularly. And I think
2-1.
2-1 Liverpool.
Liverpool.
What are you going for?
I've gone 2-1 City.
Have you?
Yeah.
So I thought that. I thought we'd have a few like...
See, so I'm going to change my mind now. So I did go 2-1 City as well. I might go for a draw.
Yeah. Doing 2-0.
Just so, again, the pod stays alive.
I might go 1-1. Okay. I might go 1-1. Okay. So basically, if Liverpool or Man City win, I'm proper fuck.
Good.
There's the quote.
Good, good, good.
I was in Snatch, wasn't it? Then when the rabbit.
Yeah, that's it.
We've been proper fucked.
Yeah, proper fucked.
Well, that's good because that means the podcast stays alive, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, we're keeping the podcast alive. And yeah, all those odds are correct at the time of recording. Please gamble responsibly.
Right, next game.
Aston Villa Tottenham.
Now, this is a big game. This is a big game. All for the top four, huh? So yeah, Villa are fourth at the moment. Yes. Spurs are fifth.
Really tight.
5 points difference. Villa are flying.
Yeah.
They had a bit of a stumble at home in recent weeks, but back on winning ways. Ollie Watkins, how good is he doing?
The second highest top goal scorer in the Premier League this season behind Haaland, ahead of Salah.
Yeah.
Obviously some injuries. Yeah. But that is incredible.
Yeah, he's flying. I loved his interview the other day. He said that he was going to games knowing that he was going to score. Yeah. How good's that for a striker?
Nothing when you're in that kind
not hoping... Knowing that he's going to score.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely, absolutely incredible. Like, and he is on the plane. There's no question of that. But he is, I think, in the seat for Harry King gets injury. He's next in line. Has to be.
You'd think so.
It's a good way, isn't it? Because if we've probably in recent years, we've always relied on our main striker. Whereas now with Kane, if he does get injured and he brings something different, doesn't he?
Yeah.
There's a different way
to... Well, he's a totally different kind of player. You know, Ivan Toney, I love as well, but you know, I think Watkins gives you something completely different, a completely different thing to think about. If you want someone maybe, you know, maybe more similar to Kane, then Toney goes.
Do you feel that with this current England team, because you start to see the sort of draft teams as people see it roughly at the moment, obviously opinion, subjective, that kind of thing. Do you think we're in a position which maybe England fans haven't really had for a long time where it doesn't feel like you lose one player and you're fucked sort of thing? There is multiple options.
Yeah, it's fair to say. Very true that. Yeah. Like when I came in for Rooney.
No, I'm not saying that at all, Pete. I'm not saying that. No, I'm not. I'm just saying we seem to have good options in every position and different systems.
No, 100%. We're a different animal now the way we're playing. But anyway, we got away from what we're trying to do here.
Yeah. And that's Villa versus Spurs. Tottenham. Yeah. So Madison back for Spurs. Yeah. Which is a massive boost. Timo Werner, always, you know, getting in the mix with the chances, missed a lot.
It's kind of the story of his, well, his previous experiences and then seems to be same here. It's kind of a little frustrating to watch.
So much pace. He gets in there all the time. And like, they had another one-on-one, but you don't
fancy him, do you?
Kane goes through that position. You've seen it so many times and you're like, you just know he's finishing it. Mm. Whereas with him, I just kind of knew that.
There was one on the weekend where Spurs broke down the right-hand side. Madison was in the middle. Timo Werner was on the left. And you could see Madison going to Timo Werner, get in the box. The ball flashed across. And if he'd have been there, he would have scored. Yeah. And Madison looked straight at him as if to say, I can see that build-up. Why are you not doing it?
But then again, for his goal, his movement was really, really good. Yeah, you know, like obviously strange. Brennan Johnson down the right-hand side and his movement was good. It was good movement. So like he's frustrating because it's there, but you just at times he can frustrate.
Do you think there's an added spotlight on him and that because of his previous experience in a way that you probably wouldn't have if he'd just come in this season without that?
He's an unbelievable threat. You know what I mean? When you've got pace like that, he's always going to be a threat, and he's always worth his place in the team. And but yeah, for this game,
tough ones are cool.
It is. When you have got pace like that as well, especially away at Villa Park, they're going to need that on the break. I think at times.
Scores?
Interesting one.
I was really torn on this one, and I'm gonna go Villa. I'm gonna go Villa for the win, and I think they're gonna win 2-1. That's my prediction.
I wrote down 2-1 Villa as well.
Have you? I've gone 2-2.
Okay.
Desmond.
I've gone for the Desmond.
Interesting.
The 2-2.
Okay.
I'm hoping they don't come in, that's such a good one for me that you both, when you both do the same, I like it a little bit.
Yeah, but also imagine if it is 2-1 and then like the last minute, like the jubilance if they score 2-2.
Yeah, because if it gets to 2-1
everything off us, and you're so right,
that would be so sweet for me. Can you imagine that, like you two both on 3 points and I come in 90th minute,
that'd be very
TV remote would go through the TV.
That's gonna be so fun. I could see that happening.
Alright, Crystal Palace versus Luton. big game.
Hard one to call again.
For different reasons.
Mm. It's at Palace. Luton are giving it a go, aren't they?
They give it a go every game.
Every game I enjoy watching them. I enjoy watching them because they just give it everything.
And they score goals.
Yeah.
They are, obviously, the three promoted sides look like they are going down, you'd think. I think Burnley and Sheffield United look like they've gone. But Luton are the only one I feel that can give it, well, they're giving it a go, like you say.
Yeah.
But I don't think they can do it.
Mate, they've got this sort of cup final mentality to every single game this season. Yeah. Like, brilliant. Pains me to say it for obvious Watford fan reasons, but I do find them exciting to watch, and it does feel that they can be 2-0 down, 3-0 down at half time, and you would never rule them out, which is crazy to say about a team that's just been promoted, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I look at this and I would have said that probably Luton would have been favourites before Oliver Glasner's gone in as the Palace manager, because it was a little bit subdued, a bit dour at Sellers Park recently, but that turn of a manager sometimes just gives, well, there has been a lift, isn't there? 3-0 they won, didn't they, in his first game. They went ahead against Spurs, but they got beat.
But
it seems different there.
Okay, well, new manager, it would be the first manager to win the first two home games on the bounce from starting since Alan Pardew in 2015. Abby Clancy's just arrived. You're right.
She's coming to clean.
I draft her in before every Friday podcast just to spruce the place up a little bit.
Okay, boys, what are we saying then? I find this such a hard one to call.
Tough one to call, yeah. Palace are without Elise, Gay and Decore, big players for them. But I still think new manager bounce. I know they struggled against Spurs towards the end. I thought they played reasonably well, but towards the end they struggled. I have gone for a Palace win.
What have you gone for?
2-0.
You don't think Luton will score a goal?
I just feel like Palace will be reasonably comfortable.
They will crush them.
They will. I don't know about that. I like what Luton are doing. I love watching them as well, but yeah. I've gone Palace 2-0.
All right.
What have you gone for?
Luton 2-0. I know, which is
have you backed
horrible
Luton?
On the captions.
How has he backed Luton?
Begrudgingly. I'm not backing them. I'm thinking of everything, how it comes out in the writing on this podcast. I'm not backing them. I'd rather not do this.
You're backing them to win.
Shows you how much you want it.
Luton 2. Crystal Palace 0.
This is new. This is new.
Don't make us predict on teams. Wow. I mean, we should have a veto on
this
what
is
teams
a new
we
Chris Stark.
There is something to be said here for the fact that why do we have to do a Luton prediction?
I didn't ask for the games.
It's not particularly fair.
Well,
but I do think they'll win.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think this is going to be another tight one. I was going to go 1-0 Palace, but then what scared me was if Luton score, it fucks everything.
They always
want some interest at all times.
Yeah. Oh, shit, I was about to say they always score, and you don't want that.
No.
So I've gone 2-1 to Palace.
Okay. 2-1 to Palace.
Yeah.
So you're both back in Palace.
Yes.
You're both together on the other. Did you say 2-0 and 2-1?
I said 2-0 to Palace, yeah.
Oh, guys.
And you got 2-0 Luton.
2-0 Luton.
Well, listen, you know what? If there's a goal from the other one, we are fucked. Yeah, at least he's got a bit of interest. I see what he's doing there. He's trying to stay alive for the whole game.
Sids, this could move you into double figures finally in the points.
That'd be nice. That'd be a milestone. I've got to say, I've lost all confidence. I've gone.
You've been here before, though.
I'll come back stronger. 100%. I will.
He's got to time his run.
Yeah.
Correctly.
Yeah, I guarantee I don't finish at the bottom.
Oh, Timo Werner, are you?
Well, there's a big forfeit for a person who does, so we'll wait and see.
It won't be me.
All right, I've got a message here also from Jordan. He said, had a random thought, considering Crouchy does a lot of TMT games. What are the odds we set him a task having to collect one shirt from a player at each match that he does, with the hope of getting one from each team per season or something like that? Could be funny if he tries to arrange it with a player during the warm-up before the match so it's caught on the coverage.
That's a great idea.
So this is a bit of a genius one, because obviously he watches the build-up because you are on the pitch. There's sometimes in that build-up where you actually are in the middle of that pitch doing some interviews.
Right in the middle, yeah.
As the players are around you. So imagine if you were to just pull one and go, can I have a shirt after?
It's such a good idea. This is from Jordan, by the way. Thanks, Jordan. I really like the idea of watching you after a game running around trying to get a player's shirt like another player.
But like right after the game. So if I'm on the pitch, so what I was thinking as well, what if we swapped shirts? So like I took my big coat off and gave it to him and swapped it for a shirt.
That's nice. It's just the idea that it would all just be players sort of doing that.
What, and me?
And you know how they cut between the players at the end of the game and the manager, and you just see you in the background sort of shaking hands and doing the shirt.
When they do that bit, obviously we're talking over the pitches usually.
Yeah.
You know, so the game will finish and then the commentary team will hand straight back to us, but we'll be on the side of the pitch, but we'll be talking over the pitches you see. And so obviously fantastic result here today, so and so. But would it be funny that I'll be doing that whilst in vision? Shaking players' hands.
Yeah. I think it's a really nice idea.
I don't think it's achievable maybe every game, but I think it's probably...
You're not going to do it.
I think
I can't do it every game, but I could probably get a shirt at the end of a game.
I think it's a challenge for the season.
It's a challenge.
Get us one shirt from the game.
I'll get you a shirt.
All right.
And hopefully that'll be caught on camera.
We've got a picture someone sent in of a shirt they want us to be aware of. This is from Ashley. He says, boys, want to know what your thoughts are on the type of shirt below spotted at the Carabao Cup final. And what it is a blue shirt. So I'm assuming Chelsea from that. But it doesn't really look like a Chelsea shirt.
It doesn't look like a Chelsea shirt. That's what threw me.
But it was going to be blue or red that game.
But a text here says, Ashley wants to know the lad's thoughts on the type of shirt below spotted at the Carabao Cup final. But then put in brackets, he's not a fan.
The issue is what is written on the back of it.
Well, it's like he knows that if he is a Chelsea fan, it looks like that he knows they're losing. Because he's just gone, I'm going to enjoy the day. It's Wembley 2024.
Yeah.
He's basically got a blue shirt with Wembley 2024 on the back. It's literally like he's going, I'm going to have a great day. We're going to lose and then I'm going to come home.
In a way, this is a bit of genius thinking because you know them scarves that you get that are done on the day with the date and the teams. He's done that at the beginning of the season. On the back of this jersey, gone, this is my attire for that day.
For that day.
And we don't even know what shirt this is. This could be, it could be anyone. Wigan. Who plays in blue?
I can't get my head around this because it's not a Chelsea shirt.
No.
No, but
Unless it's a really old Chelsea shirt.
Yeah, but isn't it just one of those, you know, when you get to a cup final, you can buy all these sorts of t-shirts and things that's just celebrating the final. My issue is having it looks like he's a fan of Wembley Stadium. It's like he's so,
and so
I've
true.
Never seen it where so like true. you go to support the teams, one of two teams, or you're walking up Wembley Way as a fan of the stadium.
To be fair, he does look like a stadium spotter.
Yeah, you know, like the train guys. Like he's got
a bag in his hand. But
yeah, yeah,
he looks, a plastic bag.
He's in his element. He's walking around the stadium. He couldn't give a shit about the football. He's there to enjoy that lovely stadium.
And I think just even from this still shot, you can see that he's walking there with a swagger.
He's looking around like at the building, literally going, oh,
yeah,
what a great building.
He's just wandering around and he's sort of, I don't know, sniffing the walls and that kind of thing. Like,
I'm sure he is. He's just like, you say. Sniffing seats,
but each to their own. And
he's a fan of this stadium, which is
it's great to see. It's a lovely stadium.
You know what? At the end of the day, he goes there and he's a winner.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas it's two teams are competing for it. Whereas if you just enjoy the stadium, you're always going to win, aren't you?
True. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That's exactly it. So you go, Wembley man.
I wonder if he enjoyed your announcements on Wembley Way.
I hope so. I really do.
He looks like he might.
All right then. So, all to play for
this
weekend.
Looking forward to this weekend. Some big games and enjoy them, but enjoy them responsibly.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This episode is brought to you by a load of pricks.net. We are the experts in selling houses. Chris couldn't sell his house. What did you do, Chris?
I couldn't sell my house for love nor money, Crouchy. Three different offers I had, all at the last minute, fell through. I turned round to my wife and said, "What can we do to sell this house? Every estate agent is failing us." Then I told her, "Let's go to a load of pricks.net."
But Chris, what did a load of pricks do for you?
They were brilliant, Crouchy. They sold my house right away. The sign had barely gone up when a well-dressed gentleman came along and offered me twice the asking price.
Chris, would you use a load of pricks again?
I'd use them every time, Crouchy.
Go to loadofpricks.net. They will sell your house like no other. Load of pricks, loadofpricks.net. Load of pricks.